Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready to bet the U.S. Open is Ryan Noonan, sports betting manager at Betsports Golf. You can follow him on Twitter at RYNoonan. Ryan, great to have you back on the show.
Always love chopping it up with you here, Rob. We've had some success in the past, especially in majors, so I'm hoping we can continue to bottle that and hand it out to the folks and the listeners here at Covers.
Yeah, and I feel like it is my duty to continue to bring you back on because since you came on last year, you and I have been very successful at this. So at the PGA, not only did you love you some Justin Thomas, but one of the players who I've been on every single major is Will Zalatoris, someone who you also had an outright on. So you're mentioning to me in the playoff, you had both golfers.
It's a pretty good place to be. I had Cam Young as well, who crumbled a little bit in on the back nine on Sunday, but again, having three or five in the mix heading down the stretch there was pretty nice. Cheering pretty heavily against Matthew Fitzpatrick, if I remember that correctly, but it was a good place to be, and hopefully we could do it again here for Brookline.
So one of the narratives we are going to talk about is going back to the well with the things that do work well for us in terms of golfers and majors that help us cash tickets. But first, you're a Celtics fan, right, Ryan?
I am.
Okay, so as we speak, we're recording this on Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. The Celtics are down 3-2 in the series. Right now, the Celtics plus 290 to win, Warriors minus 360. How are you feeling right now?
I felt better if they could have wrapped up one of the last two. I mean, obviously, game four in Boston is going to stick with us for a while, especially if this series slips away. I still think top to bottom, the Celtics have the better team. When you have Steph Curry and what he can do, as we saw in game four, is a little bit frustrating. You can have those games. And for him to really kind of be relatively quiet from an output standpoint last night, I was probably, as Warrior fans, feeling pretty good. But again, like, even though he didn't have a typical Steph night, he draws so much attention and opens up things all over the floor for them. So yeah, he didn't have a great night, just like Tatum didn't have a great night in game four. So I think they get it on Thursday night back in Boston, and then game seven, anything can happen. So we'll see. I think this is going to be, deserves to be a seven game series. The Celtics in the playoffs wouldn't do it any other way. So I think we get seven, and then anything can happen. So plus money, almost 3-1 on Boston. I don't think it's a bad number.
And I'm with you. I do think it's going to go seven because this Boston team has been very, I won't say Jekyll and Hyde, but when you think that you've got them figured out, then they don't do something. But then when they don't do something, they come back and they look good again. And Boston has been very impressive for large periods of time. It's just they can also sometimes make you scratch your head. You're like, well, what happened where a lead just evaporates like this? So by no means do I feel bad about Boston. It is sort of, hey, this is why experience in the NBA Finals is a thing, because maybe the Warriors have been slightly more consistent, but I still like what I have seen out of the Celtics.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I mean, you can't turn it over 20 times and then shoot, 14 to 23 or whatever it is from the line last night. Tatum only getting six attempts and going 2-for-6 for the line. It's just a very simple recipe. If you were to just look at the box score without looking at the final score, you're like, yeah, they lost this game. So I think the metrics around turnovers and win rate for the Celtics has been pretty clear, and that'll be the recipe for game six. If they can protect the ball, hopefully not start over 12 from three, get to the line a little bit more often and convert, I think that they'll be very much live to get it back to Golden State for game seven.
And speaking of live, my strategy will continue to be live betting these games because we're seeing the streaks. I mean, boom, last time they were in Boston for game three, we just saw, here comes the Celtics flying out of the gate. You're like, this team's going to win by 100, where there are opportunities now in the market. And we've seen either of these teams can go up seven or down seven in the blink of an eye. So that's where the opportunities are. So moving this on to the U.S. Open, and we're heading to the Country Club where we've got a par 70. 7,200 yard course. And what I want to start with, Ryan, is what we learned at the PGA. And I'm not someone who traditionally goes to the top of the odds and says, hey, let me take whoever the favorite is. But heading into the PGA, I was like, you know what? I'm going to sprinkle something on Scotty Scheffler for top 10 because this guy has been just a complete machine, just covering left and right. And that was a complete disaster. He did not make the cut. So what did I learn in that instance is there's no such thing as free money, that even when you think someone is good, and really the nugget is, it's actually easier to not perform than it is to perform. Did you learn anything from the PGA?
Yeah, I mean, it is the most volatile sport, I think, even at the top of the board, as you pointed out. Like, it is, there's so much variance that can go on with, you know, bounces. And I think we're going to have that here. If you've seen any of, like, you know, some of the pre-warm-up stuff that we've seen for these guys with, you can have balls, I think it's in particular like 9, where you can hit in the fairway. If you hit it on the wrong side of the fairway, you catch a mound and you can run into the water. The rough is going to be problematic here. So there's a lot of things that are, again, you want to lean on as much of the predictable skills or as sticky as possible. Tee to green, ball striking things, which is probably why we continue to ring the bell on Zalatoris. Those are what we would call sticky stats. You know, putting is a highly variant thing. And you have these guys that can, you know, just an inch here and there on a shot, on a hole where everyone in the field is getting birdie and you come away with a par, you know, you're losing strokes in the field. And that can be, you know, that can add up if the putter runs cold. So yeah, even for Scotty, who also got caught a little bit in the weather wave too, like that's outside of our control, especially if we're betting into these markets early in the week. So yeah, there is no such thing as free money. You know, you could have said, hey, look, at the top of the board, a lot of the guys that we thought were going to be there at the beginning of the week were, you would have thought Scotty would have been there for sure too, just like you would think, you know, Rory, JT are going to do it again here this week. So yeah, there's nothing free, nothing safe per se, but that's why it's why it's called gambling, I guess, Rob, and we have to make the best educated decisions that we have with the data that we have in front of us.
So I'm going to continue to go to the well on Will Zalatoris, and I've been living in sort of the top 10, top 20 areas for him because, hey, it wins, and the outright would not have won, even though it's a ton of fun. And here's my question for you. Right now I'm looking, and this is on DraftKings, Zalatoris plus 330 to top 10, plus 130 to top 120 or to top 20. And I know we previously talked about this, I believe, 2 episodes ago with the Masters, but that's a big variance right there from plus 330 top 10 to plus 130 top 20. Do you have a lean one way or another on which sort of, do you like top 10s better than top 20s, given that we're looking at a significantly better payout, albeit it's also a lot harder to get a top 10?
Yeah, so the way that I try to allocate it is if I bet on a guy to win, I often bet on him to top 20. So basically that covers me to think like, okay, I was on this guy and I thought he was going to have a good week, and I'm kind of covering my butt if he falls a little bit short, like the Zalatoris. Now, of course, the example you gave with Zalatoris, he would have cashed the top 10 ticket for you as well. I often will go to the guys that maybe just missed my card from an outright standpoint, where I'm still trying to maybe maximize as much profit as I can, where I think that they have the win equity to get there, and I allocate some top 10 money for them. That's typically how I go about it. We've talked about before, I pretty much for the most part will leave the top 5 market alone. And I think what's interesting here this week in a major championship, especially one where I don't know that the winning score even gets to like the minus 5 area that we got in Southern Hills, you're going to have a lot of bunched up guys. And really, there's a good chance that really what is top 10 to top 20 is a stroke. And you could have some massive dead heat and some cut situations where guys are tying in a big, big way. So know your book's rules and how they divvy up dead heat rules. I always, again, if you happen to have BetMGM, especially if you're top 20 markets, top 5, top 10, top 20, I default to MGM, even though the number is typically worse, because they pay full ties, which, again, even at the worst number, if you're chopping something on FanDuel or DraftKings or PointsBet, whatever, you know, the listeners have access to, that's going to be a worse number than what you're getting pre-tournament over on MGM. So I think knowing the dead heat rules, because all the books do it slightly different around like cutting your stake or cutting the odds, is really important. So again, where I think we're going to have, again, the top 20, top 25, really close, just from a distribution of score standpoint, because this is going to be a very tough test of golf. I think you're going to have some overlap. Really, your top 20 market and your top 10 market could almost be the same when it comes down to splitting dead heat rules. So I have no problem if you wanted to be a little bit more aggressive this week into the top 10s, just because they might end up paying out the same or a little bit more than the top 20.
And this is also one of the reasons why I love to live in the matchups market, because you don't want to have a top 10 only for your guy to finish what ends up being tied for 17, albeit one stroke away from the top 10. And you're sitting there with a loser where you're like, oh man. The challenge, of course, in these matchups is when you take the Will Zalatorses of the world, the Rorys of the world, you're also going up against another ace. So the days of Will Zalatorses' top debutante are now gone, where, all right, now we're getting into a market where it's a little bit of a tighter thing. So let's start with, or let's get to, some players that you like or that should be on our radar and to frame this. Ryan, what I love about talking with you is you sort of give me some knowledge on who you like, and I don't play the outrights market. As I said, I play the 10s, 20s, and matchups. I'll say, here's who Ryan likes, here's who Ryan is fading or does not like, and then I will go to the appropriate matchups market and say, boom, what can I find here? So there's a lot of different ways for us to chop this up if you don't want to just go home run, or quite frankly, the reason that you keep coming on with me is because you have been very successful with this. So also look at what Ryan's strategy is and say, maybe I'm going to sprinkle on with some him. So let's start with who you like this week.
Yeah, I want to talk before, because I think you and I have touched base, and I think that's kind of why I also enjoy talking with you, is because we also talk theory, and, you know, I think betting is, it's very easy to just give guys and winners, and like, not easy to give winners, but it's easy to list guys, instead of talking about, you know, betting theory, as we just kind of did a little bit there too, which I think is really sharp. Something that actually worked for us, and I've kind of been playing around with it a little bit, and it worked well, actually, last time we talked at the PGA, and my guy PGA Splits, Ron Kloss, who writes for us at Betsports Golf, was really interested in Justin Thomas pre-tournament. I had got down on Justin Thomas, as we talked about earlier, but JT had a late tee time. And I'm kind of eyeing that this week, where I have some interest in adding at the top of the board from an outright perspective on either Scottie Scheffler or Justin Thomas. And the problem is that with their late tee time, there's a really good chance, Rob, that John Rahm or Rory McIlroy goes out early and sets a number. And then even without hitting a shot, Scotty's odds, JT's odds pre-tournament are going to drop 3-5 points, sometimes even more. In this instance, that worked for Ron at the PGA. Like JT was like 16 across the board. He got him at 27 before hitting a shot, just because Rory went out and put up a 5-under in his first round. So again, if you're looking to add at the top of the board, from an outright standpoint, I think that you should wait if you have an interest in a guy that's in a late tee time spot. So guys, for me this week, I mentioned Scotty and JT. Sungjae Im. I have massive Sungjae FOMO this week. I did not get down on Sungjae at 66 when I was out there in the outright market. It's down to like 40 in a lot of spots. He checks a lot of boxes this week. Bogey avoidance. He's tremendous with his short game. I think you're going to need the entire bag. Total driving matters a lot this week, kind of a combination stat between driving distance and accuracy. It's a little bit of a noisy stat, but if you kind of comb through it, you can pick through in some spots and some guys that make sense. Basically, Sungjae is, you know, average to above average in distance and finds a lot of fairways, and we want to be in the short stuff this week. So Sungjae is going to be a guy that I look to add. I think he'd be a great target in matchups. A guy that I would actually kind of fade in matchups this week for that same reason is Cam Smith. Cam Smith is a extremely volatile golfer who the range of outcomes is tremendous. And he has a little bit of that magic bean stuff sometimes where, you know, he can have these miraculous saves and the short game is tremendous. But overall, you can really spray it off the tee. In a spot where I'm expecting, you know, deep rough to be a problem, it's going to be very hard this week for that short game to really kind of shine. You're going to have guys that are maybe going to have to take 45 degree angles to get them back into the short stuff instead of attacking the green off the tee with wayward tee shots. So Cam Smith's a guy that I would look at that you're going to be able to get those guys that we talked about, the, you know, Xander Schauffele's, Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, John Rahm's in the matchup market against Cam Smith this week.
All right. So one place that I look for all majors and certainly the US Open is past champs. So let's play a quick game of popcorn because there's a lot of players we want to get to because it can be relevant to all of the different markets. So we got two-time winner Brooks Koepka coming in plus 4,000 outright. is Brooks a undervalued name brand or a shiny object? So you see someone who can do this. He also had a second place finish in 19. So you see the pedigree, but then you see him further down there and you're like, huh, this just doesn't make sense to me.
It's a shiny object. It is very shiny because it is Brooks. And we know historically his run at US Opens are unprecedented. He's talked about how there are only a few events that matter for him. He's a major championship guy. But when you look at what matters, we're talking about, you know, good drives over the last 50 rounds. I have him 126th in this field in good drive percentage. Greens in regulation, way down. He's 104th in proximity under 100 yards, which, again, I think is going to matter because these guys are going to have to work their way out of the rough and leave themselves short irons into these greens to kind of scramble. And that iron game just hasn't been there. So there's really nothing statistically over the last 50 rounds, or even 36, 24, that pops for Brooks other than name value and kind of his pedigree in this tournament.
So everything that you just said for me goes, I'm going to now look in the matchups market and see, hey, where is Brooks Koepka at and can I possibly fade him? So next one, Shane Lowry sitting there plus 3,500, also a former US Open champ, also in a similar thing. And I don't have the matchups up, but you might see some Shane Lowry there. Thoughts on him? Because I might be looking at him this week.
Form is tremendous. I think you should look at Shane Lowry. There's really nothing here that would make you stay away. We want to talk about bogey avoidance because, again, there's going to be some plus numbers. I mean, the cut is going to be, you know, plus number. You might have a winner right at par this week, according to some of the locals that think this is going to play really tough. There's no one in this field better at bogey avoidance than Shane Lowry. The irons are tremendous. He is sixth in good drive percentage. There's really no weakness. Fifth in strokes gained approach over the last 50 rounds. He absolutely is a viable play. Again, I think the outright number is a little rich for me. But again, finishing position bets at top 20, some of the targeted matchups, no problem with Shane Lowry this week.
All right. One thing that I saw is that Matthew Fitzpatrick won the 2013 U.S. Amateur on this course. So we've got players who have previously won the U.S. Open. Now we've got someone who has experience on this course. And Matthew Fitzpatrick, now someone who is becoming more of a name brand. He's not one of the top guys, but we now know him a little bit more. Thoughts on Matthew Fitzpatrick and how much stock do you put into him having some experience on this course?
That part, none, because there's been a little bit more of a reno since. And then also, this is actually a mix of 27 holes at the country club. And how they actually are laying out the 18 that they're playing this week is they're actually stealing a little bit from some of the other groups of nine. So this isn't actually just a pure 18 track. So like the championship layout here is a little different than what he played back in 13. And there's a lot of other guys that actually fared fairly well that are in this tournament. Scottie Scheffler, one of them, back in 2013. So I think he is in play though, just off of his form. So regardless of the 2013 stuff, again, been an ascending player, has really improved a lot of times with him. He had a game that was, to me, would resemble Cam Smith, where he just a lot of magic around the green. Wasn't a guy that I would play often because he relied often on a putter. And again, we talk about putting stats not being very sticky, but he's longer than he's used to be. The approach game is as good as it's ever been. Just again, finds fairways, bogey avoidance, he's top four. So yeah, Matthew Fitzpatrick should be right up there. I think Shane Lowry mixed, you probably can find them head to head. I'd stay away and maybe find different pairings for them to go after because I think they're both really good plays this week.
So two tickets that I cashed in the matchups market during the PGA, one of them coming from you. We had our guy Cam Young. So all of a sudden, boy, was Sunday fun. Here comes Cam Young and tons of people on Twitter had him in the outright market. I know you are someone who is big on him. I just had him in the matchups market, so I got my sprinkle there. I also had a share of Max Homa in the matchups market. So once again, and this is my recipe for success in majors golf, I'm going to continue to go for the golfers that have treated me well. So I'm going to look at both of these golfers, certainly in the matchups market, and then probably in the top 20 market looking here, Max Homa plus 160 in that market. Thoughts on either of them?
Two of my outright bets this week for the points that you made. They're the same reasons we like them that week. We will like them here. The pedigree and really what their skill set is sets up well for major championship golf. If you look at the courses where Max Homa's played well, Wells Fargo this year at TPC Potomac. That was a tough track. Wasn't a great field, but again, like you had to be, long and straight, and the short game starting to improve. I think he's starting to believe that he belongs in there. And I think the showing that he had at Southern Hills kind of leads into that. Top five last time out at Memorial, another track where you got to be long and straight. You kind of need the entire bag to win. So Homa is a great look this week. Absolutely love it. Cam Young too. Cam Young is a bomber, sixth in total driving, the stat I referenced earlier. Again, doesn't have a win to his name, just like our boys Alatoris. But this is only a matter of time for these guys. The games are what they have from a statistical standpoint and a skill set. Those are sticky stats. Like, they're great on approach. They're great tee to green. You just get a little bit hot with the putter, and you're going to have these weeks where they can actually, win a major for their first tournament. So if you look at where Cam Young has played well this year, it is all these tracks, Genesis, RBC Heritage at Harbortown. Like, that is a very tough course, very different than what it takes to succeed at a place like Genesis. We just mentioned TPC Potomac. So again, there's nothing in Cam Young's game that should have us avoiding it or think that this is kind of just a rookie blimp and that he's going to fade away. The pedigree is here. This is the upcoming rookie of the year.
And it is impossible for me to do a podcast about golf majors and someone who's not won yet is our boy, previously top 10, top 20, Tony Finau, coming in runner-up last week, top five in three of his last five events, plus 330 top 10, plus 140 top 20. I have to always have him on my card. I'm going to have top 20 Tony Finau. Thoughts on our boy?
Yeah, trending in the right direction. I had an outright on Finau last week, Finau and Burns, and it was an enjoyable Sunday of golf, except unless you had, I think, Finau and Burns outrights because it didn't go so well. Finau trending in a nice, nice way. Again, if he can get hot with the putter, he's going to miss some of those five-footers, but he will bury a couple of those 30-footers to keep you in it. Tee to green has been really tremendous. Strokes gained off the tee, 19th over the last 50 rounds. Tee to green, 14th. Really good from the proximity ranges that we're expecting to be key this week, too. So no problem going back to the well with Finau. And then I'll mention Burns again, too. I think Sam Burns is mispriced in the betting markets. I think the numbers have shrunk a little bit. But again, just a proven winner. Has the entire bag, which I think is going to matter here. One of the best short game players on tour. Approaches are dialed in. There's nothing wrong with any way you want to attack Sam Burns in the betting markets. I'm in on that.
So I'm going to give a quick recap of sort of the players that I'm going to be on in some capacity. So I'll be on Will Zalatoris. I'll be in on Tony Finau. I'll be on Shane Lowry, Cam Young, Max Homa, and... and your boy Sungjae Im. I've got to roll with that because you're liking that. Is there anyone else that you didn't mention or you like, you fade, anything else you want to leave us with, Ryan?
I think Daniel Berger is someone that you can look at this week. We're a little nervous about Berger for a couple weeks there, but again, trending in the right direction. Played it back-to-back weeks at the Colonial and the Memorial, top five at the Memorial. One of the best fairway finders on tour, very accurate off the tee, and the approach game is trending nicely, and I think has the pedigree to get there. Really nice numbers, I think, on him this week. Some other guys maybe that you could fade. I worry a little bit about Victor Hovland. I think we're going to have short game matter here a little bit. That has definitely been his problem. So, that's an upper echelon player that's really hard to fade. But like you said, we need to use some of these guys at the top of the board in matchups. We got to find a couple of guys that they're paired up with to fade. So Hovland and Cam Smith, those guys for me, where I'm a little bit leery on them. Jordan Spieth, another guy that's really tricky for me. Like, he's not a lot here statistically that I love about Spieth, but like, he sometimes gets it done with, the most unpredictable ways. But Spieth is a guy that I wouldn't mind going up against in the matchup market if he was paired against a guy that I love, like a Shane Lowry, for instance. You're probably not going to get, maybe Zalatoris, someone like that. I wouldn't mind taking plus money on those guys against Jordan Spieth.
Well, sign me up for the fade on Cam Smith and Hovland and Spieth if I can get him against someone like Zalatoris or somebody else that I like. Ryan, love jamming with you. Everyone should definitely follow you on social media because you're a wealth of knowledge, certainly in the world of golf. Where can everybody connect?
Appreciate it, buddy. At Ryan Noonan on Twitter, BetSports Golf, 4 for 4, the betting manager over there. We have any sport at this point. We are continuing to roll out new sports on the betting side. Football podcast stays locked and loaded, move the line on Wednesday evenings. But at this point, like, I'm so locked in on golf, it's hard to talk football every Wednesday, Rob, because I just want to talk about golf betting. Golf betting is the best sport out there. Football, again, you know, pays the bills, but betting on golf and handicapping golf is absolutely my favorite. So I appreciate the shout outs and appreciate always you making time for me in the space.
And I want to hear from you. What is your U.S. Open card looking like? And more importantly, can you dive into your strategy for this? And Ryan and I both talked about it, how we're sort of chopping this up differently. We would love to hear from you. You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.